Hi guys, hello, how are you? Hi guys.
What's the basic message to Heston when you guys set him down? What are you hoping to see from him, and is this kind of a reset, or could it be something more extensive?
Yeah, we set out a specific plan for him as to what we wanted him to do going down, that we saw it more as an opportunity to, you know, make some adjustments and some changes. I think what we didn't want to do is just say, hey, you know, go get him. I mean, that's obviously not the right message. When a guy struggles here, as talented as Hess and, you know, as good as this kid is, can be, like, there's something that we're missing, right? And I think we've seen, you guys go back over your years of covering this into this, I think we've seen a lot of examples of really good players who at some point get optioned out and they kind of show back up with a vengeance and become the players that they're supposed to be. So I think as you talk to Hess, you kind of explain that, and he was great. He understood. I mean, obviously disappointed to get sent out, but very a lot of self-awareness and a lot of understanding that this is probably more an opportunity than anything else. Yeah, I do. I think you do. I mean, you go back and think of, you know, when I was talking to him today about getting better in the outfield and the specific things that I felt that he needed to do and, like, the process for it, I go back and think about, you know, all the stories on Alex Gordon in Kansas City years ago about, you know, you see these ESPN shows about how he'd play, you know, three rounds of BP off the bat and run all over the place and be exhausted every day. So there are ways to get better. There are major league players that are getting better on a daily basis in the outfield. So I think for a guy that's, I think Hess is 26 years old and still relatively inexperienced in the outfield and professional baseball, there's absolutely a path forward for him there. He's just got to kind of take it.
What were some of those specific things that you told him to work on?
It's the whole game. I don't want to get into the actual specifics, but, you know, I think, you know, just there's a lot of things that he can get better on out there. And I think that's okay to say and to understand. I think he understands that too. Yeah, I think you got the answer to that. It's tough. I mean, if you're a good left-handed pitcher, you're probably not in the minor leagues very long, you know. So I think, unfortunately, historically, the way this thing works out, and especially in, like, today's era of the game with the stuff that these guys have and the pitch shaping and the sciences kind of behind pitching now, I think, unfortunately, what happens is usually takes a little bit of time in the big leagues to hit left-handed pitching. You know, like the Corey Seegers and those guys, maybe they hit them right away. I'm not sure. I'd have to go look to check, but my guess is most guys that hit left-handed pitching as left-handed hitters, they've been around a little bit. They've accumulated some at-bats, and they've got samples against major league left-handed pitching. So I think that's obviously one way. Then I think the other way is just our training methods and techniques, which are good, right? Like with what our hitting guys do in the cage, and, you know, I know that we're not hitting them right now, but if you look at some of the progress that some of these guys have made, and if you look at what Gunner did last year against left-handed pitching, he was incredible last year, right? So you think about that stuff. I think there are things that we're doing and things that we can to expedite it. We just have to continue that.
With Heston, I'm sure the answer to this question is both, but when you look at the offensive struggles just as a whole, how much of it do you think was mental or confidence issue versus something mechanical with his swing that opposing pitchers were attacking?
Probably a little bit of both. I think that's fair to say. I think when you struggle, it's hard to have confidence when you struggle. You can't fake confidence. You know, in the minor leagues, we'd always talk about, you know, this guy's got to get confidence. And one of my bosses who's elsewhere now would be like, well, how are you going to get him confidence? He's got to play well. Yeah, how do you help him play well? So I think as you go through it, it goes back to what if there is a mechanical issue or something, he's got to make those adjustments, whatever they may be. I think we got good information on here as to what it can be. And he'll go down with an open mind and he'll do it. And then we expect to see him back at some point and, you know, be the guy we think he can be. I think the world we're living in with social media and how rapidly information travels. Yeah, I think that's fair to make that assumption. I mean, it's hard. I mean, you make a mistake now in 2025 and it's across the world with one click. Whereas when I made all my mistakes, and I made plenty in A-ball, you know, nobody knew about it except for the people in Lynchburg, Virginia. So I felt safe. You know, so yes, for these guys to come into big leagues in this environment, it's really hard. And then on top of that, you know, as a hitter or position player, you got to face modern pitching in the big leagues. There's a lot of science and there's a lot of advanced technology that's helping these pitchers that guys probably didn't have 20 years ago in terms of game planning. It used to be, you know, a coach would sit there and watch a video, and some of you guys probably would walk in the clubhouse and see the video boxes. I remember from being a kid and be like a coach putting in an old VHS tape and watching from a grainy angle, you know, for weaknesses on a hitter. That's not how it is now. I mean, you guys can imagine the information that's available in order to get hitters out. So not only is it hard to play in the big leagues as a young player now because of the information and the world we're in, but just the technology and the information in the big leagues itself.
Are you excited to basically have your whole team back now?
Yeah, I think everybody's. I think you guys are too. I mean, I think everybody in Baltimore is excited, and we're still missing a couple. And then we're still missing pitching too. You know, guys that hopefully come back here at some point down the road. But, yeah, whenever you got two guys that walk in like Jordan and said, you feel great. You know, at some point here in the next however many days, you'll see Gary and you'll see T.O. and we'll feel even better. So, yeah, it feels good.
Sorry. A couple weeks ago, you described Jordan Lester as sort of the glue for this team. He was just asked about that earlier today. He said that he would tell you that, that you're lying.
Yeah.
What's your reaction to that? And what does that say about Jordan?
That he is the glue. I mean, I there you go. There's your answer for it. I mean, anybody that can answer it that way, I think there's a lot of humility and humbleness in that answer. And I think major league teammates and staff and people in the city of Baltimore probably gravitate towards that type of blue-collar personality.
It's clear now that Kobe Mayo has a bit of a runway here between the moves that were made to keep him here, but also Ryan Mountcastle's injury.
Yeah.
When we're a couple of weeks, a month, 2 months down the line, what are the things that you're hoping to have seen at that point to show you that he's made the adjustments and is ready
sure.
to stay?
Offensively, some of the stuff we're already seeing, you know, kind of laying off some of the bad pitches on the outer half of the plate in the bottom of the zone, right? Controlling the strike zone a little bit, being aggressive, putting off good swings. You know, we're down. I'm always curious as to what perception is, right? We're down 4-0, I think, against Mason Miller on Sunday, and you know, traditional baseball is, you know, you got to take right there. You're down by four, take in the ninth inning. Well, you know, the other side of baseball, and I've gone back and forth on this too, is do you want to go down 0-1 to Mason Miller? I don't know if you want to do that, right? And Kobe gets off a swing, a good swing, and pops it up, right? And he's out. And in my mind right there, down 4-0, I'm thinking, okay, I'm fine with that because it was a good swing off one of the best pitchers in the game, and it looked good. He made contact. I like that, right? So for Kobe to handle in a bat and be aggressive and have the confidence to do it right there, we want to see that. We want to see the confidence and the control. And then I think defensively, just continued growth, right? You're probably going to see more at first base. Unless there's a specific need, I doubt we see him at third base right now. I think we're going to try to simplify it for him a little bit and focus mostly on first, and we'll go from there. But just continued growth. He's been doing great out there. He's grown defensively over the years for me. You know, I feel like the coaches are doing a great job with him at first base, so just continue to get better.
Do you think we'll see Sanchez and O'Neill this week?
It's a good question. I honestly don't have the answer to that. I think there's a very small percent that would happen. And if that doesn't happen, you'd see him on the road trip.
Do you figure you go back to pretty much where the team was at the beginning of the season, and you have Lirius, and you have Westbrook, and obviously you have the kid at second base,
yeah.
So you have to find a way to play all those guys?
Yeah, I mean, Lirius is a heck of a player, you know, and I think he's, you know, as you see Westbrook show up, that probably affects him a little bit, right? And Jackson, we're going to play. Jackson's playing every day. This kid's got a chance to be a heck of a player. So Jackson's going to play against the vast majority of left-handed pitching, if not all of it. So Yuri's very capable at three positions. And really, he played a fourth shortstop in 2021 for about a month straight and played all right. He's not going to play there for us because we have other options. But, you know, you'll see Yuri in the DH. You'll see Yuri come off the bench, third, second, possibly first base. So Yuri will get plenty of time in at bats, and it'll be a really good role for him going forward too.
Tony, has the team adopted a mindset of we cannot dig out of this in a week or two? It might be a month or two. And so you can't, like, overreact to any one loss because you're in it for a long period of games here.
Yeah, the backs are definitely up against the wall in a lot of ways for, you know, some of the calendar dates that are coming in our business. So, guys are playing with a massive amount of urgency right now. And I think as you walk into Seattle with a, you know, a team that probably doesn't have all their guys and you sweep a really good Seattle team, and, you know, I think that's where the urgency comes out, right? You go into Oakland and, you know, if Denzel Clark's not playing center field, and we saw what that looked like last night in Anaheim, but if he's not playing center field, you win 2 out of 3 there. And that was a tough place to play for people that were there. That wasn't easy, you know. So, and that team, I, you know, those first 3 hitters, I don't think made an out the whole time, which was incredible. But, you know, there's urgency every day. There's been urgency. We know, you know, the likelihood of you know, trying to pick up another 5 or 6 games against being 500 or being under 500, that's probably not going to happen in 5 or 6 straight days every single time like it recently did. But, you know, if we win a series, win each day, then, you know, over time, maybe you get yourself back in the mix. Sure. And Cedric is glue, too. I mean, it's the same type of thing. And to me, what glue is in a major league clubhouse, it's just being consistent and steady. There's not a lot of peaks and valleys. It's a guy that does it on both sides of the ball. It's a guy that's a good teammate. It's a guy that does it on the bases. It's a guy that does it when we're losing 10-0 or up 10-0. They're just the same guy every single day. And there's performance to it, right? Like, it's hard to be the glue when you're sitting on the bench for 9 out of 10. Like, you have to be a guy and you have to get out there. And obviously both of those guys, Cedric for a little bit longer because this is his 6th year in the league, I think. And I think Jordan's second full season and parts of 3 now. He hasn't done it as long, but, you know, they have those traits to be just that. Sure. Sure. I think whenever a guy comes off the IL, you don't expect him to carry us. You know, so like the expectation for Jordan after missing a month, like he's not going to carry us. If he does, then we'll take it. But, you know, I think over time as he gets back to himself, yeah, we needed him last year when we were kind of living the nightmare of it last year towards the second half. And he was out with the hand. So I think in due time he'll get back to being himself and he'll be a major impact in those scenarios for us.